And we're holding on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom by the beginning of the Gemara. The Mishnah had told us that you have a case where a person is saying, I'm selling you a base kor of offer of dirt, which we talked about at the beginning of the Perek, what Rashbam and Tosfos and other Rishonim say about the significance of using the word offer in this connection. Anyway, so the first Mishnah had just said where he, the first Mishnah of the Perek had said that he says, I'm selling you a base kor offer. Without any further specification. So then we said you have the whole din as far as the rocks and the ditches and below and above 10 tefachim as we discussed over there. Then we had our Mishnah had said where he said, I'm selling you a base kor offer, midah b'chevel, measured with a rope, which suggests a more exact measurement. So then we said that if it's any more or any less than a base kor, then adjustments have to be made. Then adjustments have to be made as far as the price. Then we have a third case, the Mishnah had said, where he says, I'm selling you a base kor, hein choser, hein yeser, whether a little bit more or whether a little less or a little more. So it's around a base kor, but not exactly. Actually, in the first Mishnah, we had also where he says, kib base kor. So we have four different cases in these two Mishnayos. We had where he just said base kor without further specification, where then you have the dinim that ditches. More than 10 tefachim or more deep, or rocks 10 tefachim or more tall, don't count towards the base core. We had where he said kib base core, about a base core, where then those do count it. We had an on Mishnah where he says midah b'chevel, I'm a base core as measured with a rope, where there it has to be exactly a base core, and if there's any more or less, then the price has to be adjusted. And the fourth case is where he says hein choser, hein yeser, it's a base core or a little more or a little less or a little more. So then. And Mishnah said that then we have we have leeway of up to 1/4 kav per base kor, which is to say 1/4 kav per saw, which is 1 in 24. So if the amount of difference is less than that, then we say higioi that the sale is final and there's no adjusting and there's no returning anything beyond that. We said he has to return him something. He has to return him the money, or if he wants, he returns him the kapta. So the Gemara starts out. Base core stomamai. Now, what would happen if he were to say, I'm selling you a base core without specifying, without saying midah b'chevel? He didn't say midah b'chevel, but he also didn't say hein choser, hein yeser. So now, what's the din? In turn, now in the first Mishnah of the Perek, we learned the din as far as the ditches and the rocks. But what about the din as far as if it turns out to be more or less than a base core in terms of the actual area of land, in terms where there's more extra quarter calves or fewer extra quarter calves or fewer quarter calves, less than a base core. So then what would be the din as far as those extra or missing amounts? So Tosfos, as we mentioned yesterday, brings a possibility that the difference is that that here we're talking about, they didn't actually measure it yet. They're going to measure it to begin with. He knew that it's likely to be not exactly a base core, but he didn't know exactly how much. Meaning, in other words, because we learned yesterday that Rashbam pointed out, we had a Gemara previously on Daf Tzadik that said, where Rava had said that if a person is selling a certain number or a certain weight of something and it turns out to be anything under, then the sale is bottled. So how are we saying over here the sale is valid, but you have to return, but in some cases you keep the extra revoyim or you don't get them, and in some cases you return them. So the Rashbam had said, one, there's a difference between Kauka and Metalkalin in that regard. Tosfos says that no, the difference is that Rava is talking about where it was already measured, and then he ended up giving him less of the measure than he was supposed to. He were talking about the land hadn't even been measured yet. Anyway, so the question is base kor stomamai. So what happens as far as the revoyim? What happens as far as these extra quarter kav per sa or missing quarter kav per sa if he just said base kor without specifying? So the Gemara says Toshma, let's bring a proof from the first Mishnah in our Perek, where he said base kor offer or from the beginning. from the beginning of our Mishnah right here on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. Base court offering mochalachamidibachevel, where he said, where if he says, I'm selling you a base court measured with a rope. Pochas kol shehu yinaka. If it's any bit, if it's any less than a base kur, even a small amount, yinaka, then he has to deduct from the price. Yosef kol shehu yachzir. And if it's any more than a base, then if it's any more than a base kur, then the buyer has to return the extra amount. Ha stama. So the implication is only because he said, only because he said midi bechevel, are we so exact? But otherwise, if he had just said without midi bechevel, kehein chaser hein yeser dami, then it would be the equivalent of saying hein chaser hein yeser, and therefore he would be entitled to keep the extra revoyim, or the seller would not deduct anything from the price for the missing revoyim, as the case may be. So that would prove it. But the Gemara says no, because Ema Sefer, because look at the next part of the Mishnah. V'im amalei hein choser hein yeser, because the Mishnah continues that if he explicitly told him that I'm selling you a base core a little less or a little more, afilo pichis roiva l'sa, then even if it's less by as much as a roiva per sa, by 1/24, or shahoyse roiva l'sa, or even if it's as, even if it's extra by as much as 1/24, higiyoi, then that's it. It's a, the sale is final. Implying only because he said hein chaser hein yeser, hostama kmidi bechevel dami, implying that if he hadn't said anything, it's the equivalent of saying midi bechevel. So which is it? We can't really prove. We can't really prove from the Mishnah. Yeah, well, you're right. We can't really prove one way or the other from the Mishnah, because why bechlal, as the Rashbam explains, why bechlal is the Mishnah mentioning the case where he said midi bechevel? Because the next Mishnah, which we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, is going to talk about a case where he said both. What if he said midi bechevel, hein choser, hein yeser? So what if he said two lashonas that basically contradict each other? He said, I'm selling you midi bechevel, a base core as measured with a rope, which suggests a very exact measurement. But then he also said, hein choser, hein yeser, whether it's a little less or a little more, which then suggests that we have a certain amount of leeway. And the next Mishnah is going to deal with when he uses that double expression, which one do we follow? We're going to have the whole discussion of Tfois Lashon Rishon or Tfois Lashon Achron. Do we go according to the first Lashon or the second Lashon? But anyway, the Rashbam says, therefore, that is why our Mishnah needed to mention the case of Midi Bechevel. But it's not really that from our Mishnah that we can prove one way or the other whether it whether only when he says midi bechevel do we say there's no leeway at all, but otherwise there is, or on the contrary, only when he says hein choser hein yeser is there leeway and otherwise there isn't. You really can't prove one way or the other because the Mishnah needs to tell us this, these cases as introduction basically to the next Mishnah. So therefore, so no proof one way or the other from that whether. Whether in fact, if he just says stoma, if he doesn't say midi bechevel, and he doesn't say hein choser hein yeser, what happens with the amounts more or less than the base core? We don't really have a proof one way or the other from our Mishnah. We still need to seek out another proof. Maharsha actually wonders on Rashbam that if he said we could still say that when he says one or the other, we really didn't. What is the Rashbam saying that really you did need to have on Mishnah to tell us what happens in one or the other case, and then that's introduction to the next Mishnah that says that what happens if he says both Lashonis. The Maharsha asks that really, you shouldn't even need this as an introduction. Obviously, the next Mishnah is going to deal with the question, what happens if the two Lashonis contradict one another? So obviously, if he says something that doesn't contradict, obviously, we're going to go according to whichever one. So he says, so Maharsha says, okay, it could be loy zuaf zukatoni. The Mishnah is saying not only this, but also this. Not only in our Mishnah do we go according to what he said, but also in the next Mishnah, we have to, there's what he said, but it's self-contradictory, and therefore we have to figure out within itself. And then you also have in the next of the factors, the next mission of the Machlokas on the subject, which Lashon Yugo will go into. So there is reason to introduce it with our Mishnah that says that it's one or the other. Okay. The Gemara continues, Toshma, base kur ofani moichaloch. What about, okay, so let's bring another proof. A Braisa says, similar to the first Mishnah of our Perek, that if he says, I'm selling you a base kur offer, or he says, kib base kur offer, ani moichaloch, or he says, I'm selling you about a base kur, hein choser hein yeser ani moichaloch, or if he says, I'm selling you a base kur a little less or a little more, in all those cases, the Braisa says, I feel a piches roi velasa, or hoise roi velasa, in all those cases, if he did less by a roi vaprosa 1/24, or he did more by a roi velasa, he giyoi, then the sale is final. So the Braisa mentions three cases. One of them is where he says stum, a base kur ofani moichaloch. So therefore, I'm a stomach, nami kahen choser hen yester dummy. So therefore, so that would prove from this braisa that yes, when he says stam, then it's the equivalent of saying hen choser hen yester, because the braisa put them all together. So therefore, that would be that. So that would show, in other words, that when he says base core or kib base core or base core hen choser hen yester, all of them amount to the same thing. So the Gemara says, not necessarily, because Hosam Porushi Kamafarish. Because you could say that actually, no, the Braisa is not saying three cases, but rather two cases, because the Braisa is clarifying. Ezo base core, Shahik base core, what would be? It would actually be one case. What is the case where, when he says base core, it's the equivalent of saying kib base core, approximately a base core, and therefore it doesn't have to be exact, would be kagon d'omala hein choser hein yeser, where he said that I'm selling you hein choser hein yeser. So in other words, the Tana would be saying it wouldn't matter whether he said kib base core ani moicholach, where to begin with, right when he starts speaking, he's making it clear that it's approximate, or when he says base core hein choser hein yaser, either way it would amount to the same thing, and it would be that he's clarifying what he said. So maybe no proof from this braisa, because the braisa doesn't mean that if he just said base core ani moichaloch and stops there, that we should say it means it's approximate. No, we would say that when he says base core ani moichaloch, maybe it means it has to be exact. Only when he says something that indicates that he means it to be approximate, either by saying kib base core at the beginning, or by saying base, or by saying hein choser hein yeser at the end, either way, we would say that that then he means it to be approximate, but otherwise not necessarily. So Tosfos points out the point would be, in other words, that when he says base kur ofani moichaloch hein choser hein yaser, the chiddush would be, in other words, that we wouldn't say, again, as we're going to discuss in connection with the next Mishnah, we wouldn't say tfois loshen rishon. We wouldn't say, well, look at his first loshen, and his first loshen he started by saying base kur offer, which would suggest that it's more exact. And instead we say no, but the fact is he did say hein choser hein yaser, and that would be the chiddush of it. So still no proof from that braisa. But Maskif lo Rav Ashi, but Rav Ashi says, in that case, I have a question on your understanding of the braisa. Im kain, if that's so, the second and third parts of the braisa are only meant to clarify the first one, and we're saying that if he says only base core, then it means exact. And only if he says kib base core, or if he says base core hein choser hein yeser, then it's inexact. So Rav Ashi says im kain, if that's what the braisa means, ani moicholoch lomali, then why would it repeat the words ani moicholoch in each case of the braisa? It should say that the braisa could just say, he says base core offer, kib base core offer, hein choser hein yaser, ani moicholoch, and then it would be clear that it's all coming to explain the first case. So therefore, that would prove that yes, when he does say stam, so we do have to go back to our original understanding of the braisa, that when he says stam,
then yes, it means that then yes, it means that he's that it means that it's inexact, and that it can be there can be a leeway up to a quarter kav, up to a quarter kav per sa in either direction. So the Gemara says, Shmamina, you're right, that is a solid proof, and therefore and therefore that so and therefore so so yes, if he says base core, then based on Rav Ashi's conclusion, then yes, if he says base core, then it means inexact. Only if he says midah b'chevel, only if he says measured with a rope, then we say it has to be exact. But otherwise, any of the other lashonis that are in this braisa would mean that it's inexact. Which Tosva says then that in that case, so why does the braisa, once the braisa had said base kor offer, then why does it need, even need to say hein choser hein yeser? Obviously, if even when he says plain base kor offer means that it's inexact, and you have that leeway of up to a quarter kav per sa, up to 1/24 in either direction, why even mention hein choser hein yeser? So Tosfos gives a couple of answers. First of all, it means that even if he says hein choser hein yeser, the limit of the leeway is still 1/24. You shouldn't think when he says hein choser hein yeser, maybe he means to say that you have even more leeway than that. So no, we still have to be told that in that case you still have that. And another point is that maybe the sefer clarifies the reisha for us that you shouldn't think that in the reisha means he actually did say hein choser hein yeser. Okay. So then Tosfos gets into the point that we were talking about before, as far as the rocks and the ditches, whether they count towards it or not. Here we said before that you only have a leeway of up to four kavim of rocks in the entire field, and here we're saying that and then, and here we're saying it can be missing much more than four kavim because it can be missing a quarter kav per sa, and that amounts to 7.5 kavim. And we're still saying that he geared. So okay, so it means that Rabbi Yitzchok is saying that the rocks, when the rocks can and can't count towards that roiv al asa, and then again Tosfos says, like it's like they said before, that we're talking about here, where that here we're talking about he's already standing in the field and he can see about what size it is, as opposed to previously we were talking about he hasn't yet seen the field. So then so then if he says I expect to get a base core, well then he expects to get a base core, and then and he could say I didn't plan to buy anything less than a base core, and then we wouldn't have this leeway over here of up to a quarter calf in each direction. Marsha further discusses that the Tosfos had already dealt with that issue before at the top of the Amud, but you have there are two different explanations with it, there are two different opinions within Tosfos over here. One is at the top of the Amud, Tosfos had said that we're talking about that he had already measured it, and that they hadn't measured it yet. Versus here, the Rashba and Tosfos, which is not the famous Rashba, but an earlier one of the Balei HaTosfos, is saying that it's not a question of whether they measured it before; it's a question of whether he's standing in the field or not. Anyway, the point is though that the Gemara has established that yes, that when he says base core, automatically that means that there is a certain leeway in it, and only when and then and only if he says midah b'chevel does it mean that there's no leeway and it has to be exactly a base core, and it has to be a base core and no more and no less. There are other explanations of Rishonim as well, that as far as the matter of Rabbi Yitzchak and his ditches and rocks, when they count and when they don't, Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ritva and then the Meiri bring that the earlier case about when the rocks do and don't count towards it can be talking about you have a very large area, you have much more land to sell, so therefore you're able to give him a base core that has no that has no rocks in it, that's not missing anything at all, that's not missing any revoyim. So then we would say that rocks can count as part of it when they're below 10 tefachim or whatever, whereas here we're talking about he has exactly a base core to sell and he doesn't have anything else, so therefore so the buyer has to be willing to accept that it might be missing up to 1/24. Okay. Next. The Mishnah had said mahu machzuloy mois v'chola. So the Mishnah had said that that when you have a difference of more than 1/24, when you have more than a roiva posa or less or more in the field, so then we said yasecheshba, and then we said we have to make a calculation, and we said suppose that now it was too much, it was more than one roiva posa in the field, so more than 1/24. So in other words, again, he sold him a base core. A core contains 180 kavim, because there were 6 kav to the saw and 30 saw to the core. And then we're talking about a roiva hakav, which is a quarter. So we're talking about there were 720 roiva hakavs in this entire field. So now we're saying that if he gave him a field that has more than 30 extra revoyim, more than 7.5 extra kavim, then we said the buyer has to return the extra amount. And the Mishnah had said he returns him money, the imrotza, if the seller wants machzul karka, then he returns him karka. So in other words, by default, we would say he's not going to return him the actual 7.5 kavim, because as we're going to work out in the Gemara over here, as the Mishnah itself had mentioned, 7.5 kav is not significant enough to be a field in its own right. The minimum that's considered a field in for most purposes in halacha, as talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, is 9 kavim. So let's say, for example, he gave him 8 extra kavim. So therefore, that's not enough. It's not large enough to manage as a field on its own. So therefore, instead, he gives him money, the value of those 8 kavim. If the buyer says, I want the 8 kavim back, then you give him that. And the Mishnah had used the expression, that improves the position of the seller, that the seller has his choice of what to receive back. So the Gemara says, "L'yapis koicha shal moicher aminin." So evidently, we're saying that we want to improve the power of the seller, that he gets that he gets back whichever he wants, money or land of that extra amount. "L'yapis koicha shal lekeach lo aminin." It doesn't seem, though, the Mishnah doesn't mention any case where the lekeach's power is improved. In other words, we're not saying in this case that the lekeach has his choice of which one to return. So why is that? The problem is v'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, pichas shivas kavim mechtzel akur, if he gave him land that was 7.5 kavim per kor less, which is the same amount as the roiva posa, as we said in our Mishnah, or if he gave him too much by 7.5 kavim, higioi, then the sale is final. Yoisemikan, and if it's any more difference than that, then we force the beistin, will force the buyer to sell. And we'll force the seller to sell and the buyer to buy. Meaning, in other words, that we look at both. We look at the moicher's benefit, but we also look at the lekeach's benefit. The lekeach, we're saying, should have to buy those extra amounts, because what is the moicher going to do with that extra karka? It's called koifen al midas sdoim. We would tell him that, listen, the other guy is not going to be able to use that karka for anything, because it's too little to be able to it's too little to be able to make up a complete field. So therefore, and it's not right that he should lose it altogether. So therefore, koifen al midas sdoim, and we're going to require you, lekeach, to pay extra and get that extra bit of field. Well, the same way the Chachamim also look out for the lekeach, that if the moicher had sold him a field that's too small, the other way around, we would say the moicher also has to be required to sell that extra amount. The moicher, in other words, can't say, you know what, I do want those 8 kavim, because then the lekeach could say, you know what, then what it means is, now always in my field you're going to be around, you're going to be on top of me, you're going to be always in your little field next to my big one, and I'm going to have to look out for you, and then be careful you don't trample into my field or whatever. So So it's again zen nana vezelei choser. So therefore, so it's more that the buyer in that case would gain by buying that extra amount, and that way he has one less neighbor to deal with that might trespass on his field, and the moicher therefore we require to sell. So the braisa seems to be saying that we look out for both the good of the lekeach and of the moicher. So the answer is Hossam going to have a Yakira Me'ikra Vizol, because the case of the Braisa is talking about where originally the value of the land was more was higher, Vizol Hashta, and now the price and now the price has gone down. So now the Moicher would want that I want it fine. I'm going to sell you that 8 kavim, but I would expect to be paid according to the original price that the land was worth. Damrin and Leis. And now the Braisa is saying, we tell the seller, E ara yavatli, if you're going to give me the land, Havli Kazola the Hashta, then give me that extra land. You have to sell me that extra land at the current price. Because, in other words, the point is, we're saying that I should be required to buy it because then Nana Vizalei Choser, because what are you going to do with that extra land? But here I stand to lose out because I'm going to be paying a higher price for this extra land than I should have to. If I wanted to go and buy the same land someplace else, I could buy it cheaper. So now we would say, so that's where the Braisa is saying that we're koifin es amoicher and koifin es alakeach, that each one of them is being required to do something. So now the lakeach is being required to buy that extra land. He can say, I only wanted a base core to begin with, but we tell him you have to buy that extra 8 kavim, because otherwise what is the other guy going to do with it? 8 kavim is not significant enough to be a field. On the other hand, we tell the moicher, you have to be willing to sell it to him at the cheaper price, because otherwise it is zenana v'zechoso. Otherwise, yes, you're gaining by you're getting rid of that extra little bit of land that you couldn't have used anyway, but the other guy is losing out by having to pay more for it than the current price. So that would be when the Braisa is saying that we do force the moicher to sell it at the current price, even though that's less than the land would have been worth when it was first being sold. As opposed to, on the other hand, in the Mishnah, we're talking about where there was no change in prices, and therefore, now all we're saying is the benefit is on the Moicher's side, that he can say that he's going to be getting either money or land of these 8 kavim. So the Gemara asks about Tanya, but we learn yet another Braisa, true noisen loy, when he gives him back, when the Moicher gives him the extra land. Then he gives him according to the price at which he paid him. So that means he pays the original price, even if it was higher. And the Gemara answers that's the other way around. Hossam going to have a zoyla meikra v'yakra lahashta. There it's the other way around. That last braisa is talking about where originally the price was less, and now the price of land has gone up. So now we're saying the lakeach is. So now the lakeach can say, I don't want to buy the land at a higher price. I wouldn't have bought this land to begin with unless I found it available cheaply. So now, therefore, so again, the lakeach is not going to be required to buy at the current price because he could say to begin with, I never would have bought it if it was going to be this expensive in the first place. So in other words, in short, as follows, when there's no difference in price, when the price at the time of the sale and at the time when we figure out that there's extra karka that he told him a base core and it turned out to be a base core plus an extra 8 cav, let's say, so when there was no change in prices, then we have the din of our Mishnah, which is that he does have to make an adjustment. So either he would so if the moicher prefers, then the lakeach gives him money for that extra amount, and if the moicher prefers, then he can take back the extra 8 kavim. We can say 8 kavim is not enough to manage the field, fine. But if he wants that 8 kavim, then he can be entitled back to that. On the other hand, the braisas are talking about one where the price has gone down. Where the price has gone down, so now the lakeach can say, "Fine, I'm willing to." So now the lakeach can say that if you that now the lakeach has his choice. So the lakeach can say, if you want money, then it's only going to be at the current value. So you might prefer to have the land back, and eventually you hope that the prices will go back up, and you'll be able to sell that 8 kavim to somebody else, or maybe buy some other tiny bits of land near it and make it into a piece large enough for a farm of your own. And then the last price is talking about that the other way around, where the prices have gone up since then, where then the lakeach can't be required to buy that extra land at all, because then he can say, to begin with, I never would have bought land from you if it was going to be more expensive. So that's how the Rashbam explains it, and then there were a couple of other explanations. There are a couple of other explanations among Rishonim of what's going on here exactly in terms of the extra amounts and in terms of the price going up and down and whatever. So the Ravid gives an explanation that we tell the Moicher to begin with, listen, it's for your benefit. What are you going to do with 8 kavim of land? So instead of telling him he should give you back the 8 kavim, better you should sell it to him. But if you're going to want land for it, then the buyer is going to be paying for it according to what it was worth at the time of the sale. And then even if he does want to give you the land, then you tell him you're going to give it to him as much as it was worth at the time of the sale, because fundamentally he only owes you mois, he only owes you money, not so much karka. So therefore he can go according to the original price and not according to the current higher price. Okay. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, Shem Shir Basada based test cabin, Rechola. So now we pointed out in the Mishnah that if, on the other hand, the extra amount was 9 kavim or more, and 9 kavim, as established at the beginning of the Masechta, is enough for a person to manage as a field, as a farm, all by itself. So then we said he does have to return him the karka, because when it was 7.5 kavim, then we said he gear. We said the sale was final because we said hein chaser hein yeser. When it was between 7.5 and 9, we said he does have to return him something, either mois or karka. But the point is that the seller usually is going to say, I don't want the karka back because it's less than 9 kavim and I can't really manage it. It's not really worth it to manage as a field by itself. So, but when it's 9 kavim, then already it's significant enough to be a field in its own right. So therefore, the Mishnah had said he returns him the karka.
This is when he might have taken measure up.
We're talking about when he sold him a base kur. Yeah, and he measured out too much. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Huna, tes kavim sha'omeru afilu b'bika g'doyla. So Rav Huna says that figure of 9 kavim would apply even if he sold him a large, even if he sold him a large valley. Meaning, in other words, all this time we've been talking about where he sells him exactly a base kur. Now, suppose, for example, he sold him an area of 10 base kur. Rav Huna is saying, nevertheless, the figure of 9 kavim still applies, even though 9 kavim in 10 yes. kur is a much tinier difference. But nevertheless, because there was 9 kavim difference, then therefore he would still. Then we would still say he has to return him the 9. He still has to return him the 9 kavim. Rav Nachman says, no since shivas kavim mechzel chol kur v'kur, it means that you figure out 7.5 kavim for every kur, and therefore you sold him 10 kur, for example, means now you have 75 extra kav, is a lot extra, but nevertheless he was moichel everything within 7.5 kavim per kur, says Rav Nachman. In other words, the point is basically when you have the actual amount of difference is 9 kavim, but it's less in percentage compared to the whole field, Rav Huna is saying it doesn't matter. 9 kavim, you never moichel on. Below 9 kavim, you moichel. Below 7.5, you moichel. Between 7.5 and 9, we make appropriate adjustments. And 9 kavim, a person is never going to be moichel because 9 kavim is significant enough to be a field in its own right. Whereas Reb Nachman is saying we have to go by percentages, and since since 7.5 kav per kur is mechila, so therefore, so only if it's 9 kavim per, so only if it's 9 kavim per kur, would can we talk differently, or only if it's more than 7.5 kavim per kur can we talk differently, but not yes. They are arguing, because again, forget about 10 kur, what if you sell them 2 kur? So if he sold him 2 kur, and he said, and we said it was meant it's inexact, and therefore you can have a difference of up to 1/24. So that comes out to 15 kavim. That comes out to 15 kavim difference. So now, according to Rav Huna, we would say 15 kavim. So what if it wasn't 15? What if it was 14? What if it was 13? Rav Huna would say 9 kavim or more, you never moichel on. Therefore, he has to return him that land. Rav Nachman would say no, because the fact is, if it's 14 kav extra, it means it's 7 kav per kur, and 7 kav per kur, you moichel. So Rav Nachman continues, the ikam milsi yisera de havilatishus kavin, and if you have extra over the roiva posa, and it comes out to 9 kavim, then it's going to be returned, and the mocher can't say that I dafka want money. Because in other words, Rav Nachman would say, once you have more than a roiva per sa, then already you don't have mechila. And since you have already 9 kavim at this point, then therefore, in other words, when do we say? We said before that we're as the Mishnah had said, that the yapis koyach ha-mocher, the mocher has the stronger hand. He can demand money or land, but that would only be up to 9 kavim, but not where it's 9 kavim or more, because that's already significant enough to be a field in its own right. Yeah. So that's the Rashbam. The Rashbam prefers that explanation, and then he gives a couple of other explanations which he doesn't like. One is that one the Rashbam brings another explanation that when Rav Nachman says v'ikam milsi yisera, if there's anything extra, would mean that Rav Nachman is saying only if there's an extra 9 kavim beyond all the revoyim. So in other words, we would say if he sold him 2 kur, where the amount of revoyim amounts to 15, so according to the second explanation in the Rashbam, it would mean only if there were 24 extra kavim, 15 for the 15 which are considered mechila, plus an extra 9. And then another explanation, it would have to be that at least in one base kur you have an extra 1.5 kav. And then the Rashbam discusses and says neither of these explanations really works out with the flow of the Gemara. So no, it means like he said, in other words, that if to begin with the amount of overage was more than a roiva per sa, such that you have nine kavim altogether, then Rav Nachman says that that's a reason enough to unlike Rav Huna had said that as long as it's 9 kavim altogether, even from a huge field, he would have to return it. Rav Nachman is saying only if to begin with it was more than 7.5 per kur, where then we can't talk about mechila anymore. So now we say because in aggregate it comes out to more than 9 kavim, then therefore he has to return it. So the Gemara says, Esve Rava la Rav Nachman. So Rava asked Rav Nachman. But our Mishnah had said, Shim Shir Basada Beis Tishas Kavim. Our Mishnah had said, if he left over in a field an area of 9 kavim, then already it's considered a field of its own. Lav de Zabin le Karayim. Now, wouldn't the Mishnah even be talking about where he sold him 2 kur or more? And again, from 2 kur, the leeway is going to amount to 15 kavim, because 7.5 per kur. And still, the Mishnah is saying that if he left over 9. So that would fit better with Rav Huna's explanation, who says that no matter what, the figure is always 9. According to Rav Nachman, that it's only if it's more than 7.5 per kur, then the Mishnah shouldn't be talking generically about 9, because it depends. In that kind of case, in order for the din of returning the extra land to apply, it would have to be more than 15. And the answer is loy dezavin le kur. No, Rav Nachman can answer that. No, the Mishnah means where he sold him exactly 1 kur. So when it was 1 kur, so now you have the leeway is 7.5, Anything above 7.5, we're going to have to make adjustments. And if it's above 9, then he has to return him the actual character because 9 already he can use as a field of his own.
So 7.5, you
so up to 7.5, we would say is Mechila.
Right.
Up to 7.5, we would say is Mechila. 7.5 included is Mechila. Anything more than that, anything between 7.5 and 9, we would say the Mishnah had said that the Mocher has his choice. He can either receive back money or land. And as we worked out in the Gemara, it depends also whether prices have gone up or down in the interim. Now, when it comes to 9, the Mishnah is saying 9, he has to return him the land no matter what, because 9 already he could use as a separate farm of his own. So when the Mishnah is saying that, says Rabbi Nachman, it's referring when he sold exactly one kor. It's true that if he sold more than one kor, the din would be different, because then already you'd have 9 just by virtue of having the extras themselves amount to more than 9, and therefore we'd say up to 7.5 per kor is mechila. And if it was any more than that, if it was 7.75 per kor, we're ready for 2 kor or more. You have more than 9, then already Reb Nachman would say you have to return it. Fine. And the Rashbam points out in Dinim Mamonos, the halacha is generally like Reb Nachman, and thus it is over here. So the halacha would be like Reb Nachman in this regard. Okay, the Gemara continues. Now, what about the Mishnah had continued similarly over Gina Beis Chatzi Kav? Now the Mishnah continued that when it comes to a garden, then the din is different. We don't say then the amount that forms a minimum thing of chashivus of its own is not 9 kavim, but rather a half a kav. A gina is a field is where you plant like wheat or other things like that you plant in bulk. A gina, a garden, is more you irrigate it to artificially, you water it yourself. And then Ashbam brings a pasuk, v'shkisa b'raglachok gana yorok. The pasuk describes, like in Mitzrayim, you would carry water on foot and go and irrigate your garden. So a garden is irrigated like that, and you grow there smaller amounts of things. Not the kind of things that you plant in bulk, but the kind of things that you plant in smaller quantities. Anyway, so if you have a half a calf, let's figure out. A base saw is 50 by 50. A calf is 2,500 square amas. A calf being 1/6 of a saw is approximately 400, a little over 400 square amas. So a half a calf would be half of that, about a little over 200 square amas. If you make a square of it, it would be a square approximately 14 or 15 amas on a side. So that's considered significant enough to be a garden of its own. So now the Mishnah had said, a gina beis chatzi kav. So we're saying that then again that you're talking about that there was a that you're talking about that. So you're saying, in other words, again, when he sold him a garden, then we're saying that if there's a difference of less than a half a kav, then again we say that he's moichel on it, and then above that, then we have to make adjustments. So again, lav dezabin lo sasayim, wouldn't we be talking about where he sold him an area of a garden plot of tusa, and we still say a half a calf? And again, the question would be on Reb Nachman. In other words, again, the Gemara had just gone through. We said that when the Mishnah had said about 9 kavim for a field, we asked on Reb Nachman, it seems like the Mishnah is implying no matter what the size field was he sold him, even more than a base kor. And the answer is no. The Mishnah is limiting itself to talking about where he sold him exactly a base kor, and then we have 7.5 versus between 7.5 and 9 versus 9. So the same way the Gemara is asking on the gardens, when we're talking about that he left over, that he gave him an extra, a half a calf, when it comes to a garden, wouldn't we be talking about even if he sold him at least 2 saw, and therefore we still don't calculate a roiva per saw. We say that now when he sells him 2 saw, a roiva per saw means, in other words, that you have eight roivas, which is much more than a half a calf, because a half a calf is only 2 roivas. And still, the Mishnah is saying that as long as there's a half a calf that can be used as a garden, then you have to return it to him. So that would mean even when he sold him 2 saw. And the answer is loy dezabin loy saw. No, the case would be he sold him exactly 1 saw, And therefore, so he sold them exactly. He sold them exactly one saw. And again, then we're saying that so up to a roiva, there was mechila, but more than that, yasa cheshbon. So now we say in a similar way to a field where we said the thresholds are 7.5 and 9 respectively. The same way with a garden, when he sells them exactly one saw of garden, then the allowable leeway where there's mechila would be a roiva, would be a quarter of a kav. If it's up to and including a quarter of a kav, then we say he was moichel. Anywhere between a quarter and a half a kav, then yasa cheshbon. We have to make adjustments, and a half a kav already is significant in its own right, and therefore you have to return him the whole kav. So not necessarily though is the Mishnah addressing the case where he sold him two saw, where again, a roiva per kav already, a roiva per saw already amounts to more than half a kav. The Mishnah is not necessarily addressing that case, so it's not a contradiction on Rav Nach. Okay, the Mishnah had continued, Chedivre Rabbi Akiva beis roiva. Now, Rabbi Akiva had said that when it comes to a garden, the amount that would be considered a minimum size garden is a quarter of a kav. So again, my lav the zabin lay saw. So therefore, wouldn't the Mishnah? So the Mishnah on the face of it is talking about we sold him only a saw. And again, the question is that you still have, if the allowable leeway is a quarter calf per saw, then according to the Bakiva, already there, that quarter calf already amounts to a garden of its own. And yet the Mishnah seems to be saying that at the and the Mishnah is saying that the then we're saying because you have a quarter cab over there, then therefore there's no mechila because Rabbi Akiva considers that to be a minimum size garden, implying, in other words, once you've reached the amount to be a minimum size garden, then already there's no mechila. So then the question again would be on Rav Nachman, where we're going to Rav Nachman, if you sold him an area of a saw or larger, then we say already the amount of the extra quarter cab per saw already amounts to a garden of its own, and you have to return it to him. Whereas according to Rav Nachman, it would only be only if there was enough to not be considered mechila anymore. Only if there was a quarter cab per saw. And the answer is loy d'zaben lechatzis saw. No, because the Mishnah could be talking about, according to Rabbi Akiva, that you sold them to begin with a half a saw, and therefore the allowable leeway would be not a quarter of a saw, but an eighth of a saw, because half of a quarter. So therefore, if you sold a half a saw and there was an extra eighth of a saw attached to it, then we say there's mechila. If there's anything between an eighth and a quarter, then he would have to make a cheshbon and adjust the price accordingly. And the mocher would be entitled to money or the land back. And if there's a quarter calf, which according to Rabbi Akiva, a quarter calf is a garden all by itself, Then we would say he has to return him that amount. Again, here the Rashbam brings other explanations, but the Rashbam says on them, "Ve'ein behem mamash." He says that these explanations, there's no mamoshus to them. He wants to say that base sasayim would be the amount of would be to a garden like a base core to a field. But the fact is you have the minimum size field is 9 kav. The minimum size garden is a half a kav, where a base core and sasayim is just the Gemara is using those in order to make the calculation, not to say that there's any significance in a base core as opposed to less, and a base sasayim as opposed to less. Okay, boy Rav Ashi. So now Rav Ashi has the question. Soda Venasis Gina Venasis Soda Mai. What happens if, to begin with, he sold him the land and it was being used as a field? So he sold him, let's say, one or two saw, and then there was more than one roiva per saw. But later on, the lekeach, before he returned him anything extra, before he gave him back the money or the land, it became a gina. Now, again, the difference being that a soda is one usually that's naturally irrigated. Sometimes you have a field that has to be irrigated artificially as well. It's called a beis hasholchin. But ordinarily, a field is watered by rainwater, as opposed to a gina has to be watered by hand and foot. So now what happens is that So now, for example, now, so the Rashbam explains that, let's say, for example, now the river increased in size, or a new fountain sprung forth from the ground or whatever, and now the place is more suitable for a gina, because now it's easier to irrigate it from that larger river, or from that, new wellspring. So then what would happen? So then do we say that now you have a half a kav extra per, now you have a half a kav extra, so therefore that's enough for him to be returning that, or a half a kav per sasayim, as the case may be? Or do we say we go according to the original status of it, it was a field, and therefore the amount is nine kavim? Or gina v'nasa sadeh, what about if it was a garden and now it became a field because the river dried up, or the wellspring dried up or whatever, and now you have to treat it as a sadeh? So what would be the din? Do we go according to the nine kavim, or do we go according to the half a kav? And the answer is teku. Worth mentioning in this connection, by the way, since we have Rabbi Akiva's opinion over here, today, Hey Tishrei is actually, it's brought to the end of Megillas Tainus, Hey Tishrei is the day that Rabbi Akiva was arrested.
During the Romans?
Rather by the Romans, when they arrested him for teaching Torah in public, as the famous story. Wow. At the end of Megillas Tainus, it says that was today, Hey Tishrei. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, Tana, we learn in a Braisa further, Im hoya samuchol sadehu. Till now, we're talking about where you have these extra revoyim or extra half calf or whatever, and we're talking about it's not adjacent to another field that belongs to the Moicher. So the Moicher had a field here in the middle of between a bunch of other people's fields, and he sold it to somebody else, and we're talking about where there's extra or not enough, as the case may be. Now what happens is, he sold him a base core. He has a field over here. Now he has another field over here, which amounts to a base core. And he sold that to somebody else, and he gave him eight extra, and he gave him eight extra cabin. So now that eight extra is next to his other field. So therefore, now we don't have to talk about that. He can't manage it as a field on its own. Now he can join it together with his other field, which is next to it. So therefore, even if it was a smaller amount than that, then he has to return in the land. There he doesn't have the choice of saying of money, because then the point is that now he can combine it together with his other field. So in other words, the whole point is, we said, why is he entitled to money? Is because, and we say, because we said, look, I'm not really going to gain anything from, I would gain more from getting money, because what am I going to do with an area of eight kavim? I can't manage it as a field on its own, but now he could. Now he can join it together with his other field, which is next to it. And therefore, so we don't have to improve his power. We tell the lekeach, you give him back the eight kavim, and have done with it. Boy Rav Ashi, said Rav Ashi, asks in that connection, Bur Mausha Tafsik, what about if between the eight kavim, what about if between the eight kavim and the original seller's other field, what if there's a bur between them? So now, do we consider them connected together, and therefore he returns them the eight kavim, or amasamai maosha tafsik? If you're going to say that maybe a bur, which is just a water pit, is not enough to make a hefsik, what if there's an amasamai? What if there's a water channel which is longer? Or what about derech harabim ma'osha tafsik? What about if there's a public road between them, of 16 amas or not of 16 amas or wide? Now the Rashbam points out, if it was a real rishos harabim, then for sure ein l'cha hefsik gadol mizeh. There would be no greater hefsik than that. There's no question; it wouldn't count. But here, where there's a derech harabim, as in like a farm path that people use to get to their respective fields and farms, is that enough to make a hefsik or not? Between this and the other piece, or richba de dikla ma'osha tafsik. What about if you're going to say that a derech harabim is not enough to be a hefsik? And the idea would be, for example, that let's say, so fine, he comes to that derech harabim, he's going to have to pick up his plow and carry it across the derech harabim and continue plowing there. But still, it's not that hard to do. But on the other hand, richba de dikla ma'hu shatafsik. What about if you have palm trees that are intertwined together and separate this eight kavim from the rest of the field? Is that enough to be considered a hefsik? And the Gemara says teku. So all of these things teku. Okay. Now the Mishnah had finished off that when you're returning him the nine kavim, the Mishnah had said he doesn't only return him the roiva per quarter kav, ella kolam moiser, he returns him all the extra. But what's the lashon of the Mishnah? Klapei laya. Which way is the Mishnah going? The Mishnah seems to be phrased backwards. That if it was up to a roiva, if it was a roiva per kav, he doesn't have to return it because mechila. Only if it was more than that, he has to return it. The Mishnah makes it sound as though the roiva for sure you have to return, and we have to talk about what happens with the amount above a roiva. So in other words, in our scenarios before, in other words, it sounds like the Mishnah is saying the 7.5 for sure you have to return. Above 7.5, then we have to be talking about. That's backwards. Up to 7.5 is Mechila. Above 7.5 is what we're talking about. So Tony, Robin, Rav Nachman. So Robin, Rav Nachman teaches a brisa that, yes, that clarifies it. That's what it means. Loy is a mosible. Vad machsu loy, elas kolor revoin kolon. Means he's not just going to return him the extra, he's going to return him all of it. In other words, what we're saying is, When the amount of extra land amounts to 9 kavim, we're not going to say, well, 7.5, you would have been moichel. So I only have to give you a kavim and a half. No, well, he has to give him the entire 9 kavim. Yeah, which we had that point discussed in the Gemara about a few days ago about in general when you have a non, when you have various things like that, when you say that once you're returning something that you have to return all of it. We had a whole discussion about it on Daf Tzadik Hey. So we said this would be an example of where a person has to return the whole thing because it all counts towards the 9 kavim, and therefore you have a land by itself which is choshu. As opposed to we talked about for example over there when we talked about for example over there when when for example So we said we gave various examples over there. We had a whole sugya on the question of when you're returning something. We had the case over there where for example you're selling kidney, you're selling grain or kidneys or whatever, and there's dirt or other psoilus mixed in, and the guy is and it's more than the allowable amount. Do you have to give him now completely clean grain, or can you say he's moichel up to a certain amount? So we had that whole discussion over there when we say that you have to clean it all out and give it to him all clean, similar to what we're saying over here that you have to give him back all the entire 9 kavim versus when do we say that not? When do we say that he's moichel up to a certain amount of dirt and grain because it's normal to have that? So we had that whole discussion previously on Daf Tzadik Hey.
When we start saying that if you have a water or a mayan, all those things, I thought it was just like if it stops giving water and then it's not, you don't have that ability to water together. So then I thought, Gemara's going to go that way.
So that's the point. In other words, if you have, the way that Rashbam is explaining it, if you have more water closer to there, it's easier to irrigate it. So therefore, it's more likely that you're going to turn it into a garden rather than continue as a field, dried up, then you're more likely to have to manage it as a field. Okay, I'm going to have to depend on the Eibush for rain at this point, yeah. Okay, everyone.